Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Version of the Bible. I have been a King James Version person for years, going over 33 years. I've been preaching out of the King James Version, and I really believe that I'll continue to do that. But today, I want to share with you out of the Amplified Version because it's really going to help us understand. Some things get lost a little bit in translation. And in the book of Acts, this really helps us. I got a great Amplified Bible. If you need a good Amplified Bible, go see Sister Linda Wallen. She has those. And I know that this is really going to help us. In the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 20, if you find it, shall praise the Lord. It's going to be on your screen for your convenience. But we ask you to bring your Bibles. In verse 20, it says, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm kept raging about us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was growing worse and worse and gradually abandoned. After they had gone a long time without food because of seasickness and stress, Paul stood up before them and said, now pay attention to what Paul says. He says, men, you should have followed my advice and should not have set sail from Crete and brought on this damage and loss. But even now I urge you to keep up your courage and be in good spirits, because there will be no loss of life among you, but only loss of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me and said, stop being afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has given you the lives of all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I believe God and have complete confidence in Him that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. That's for someone this morning. Whatever God has promised you, whatever word He's dropped in your spirit, it's going to come to pass. His promises are yea and amen. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And we're going to be preaching a message we've called Being Called into Someone Else's Storm. Being called into someone else's storm. Father, we love you. We thank you for this privilege to stand behind this sacred desk and to present your infallible word. We ask that this word will go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that you're here. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance, whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written. Give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church, and we leave this place, will bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I want to say something, and I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to say. I think this is so important right now, especially as we see the days approaching, the days, what I mean by that, the days of darkness, the days of challenges, chaos and crisis. There's rumors, and you always hear rumors, but rumors are that this summer is going to be a very difficult summer explicitly for the Christians. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on, but there's just chatter that people are talking about. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. My Bible tells me that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. So regardless of what anybody else says or Jeremiah prophets, which is the weeping prophet, the negative things that people say, God is still in control. But I want to say today that life is more than just about our comfort. That should rock your world right now. That should challenge you, what I just said. Life is more about than just your comfort. This is what we've had. We've had a pandemic of believers, and I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking to the people of the world, but I'm talking to Christians today that have just found themselves wanting to be comfortable. They're going from church to church because they're trying to find the perfect place, the perfect spot, so they can find comfort. And when the pastor or the preacher or the evangelist or the teacher begins to preach the Word of God and is led of the Holy Spirit, and they become offended, well, what do? They get offended and they go to someone else's church. And before you know it, you have a revolving door of the churches that are just continue to spin out of control. But God is calling somebody with some backbone that says, hey, I'm in this not just for my comfort, but I'm in this for Christ. As a child of God, we're not living just for our own good. We might be called to someone else's storm, and I believe that's going to be happening. We might be finding ourselves floating on the pieces of furniture to someone else's shore. We might find ourselves in the middle of someone else's crisis. We might find ourselves involved in somebody else's storm and problems that they're... Listen, pastoring a church, this is exactly what you go through. Not only are you dealing with the hearing from the Lord and leading the church and the community and doing the things that God did, but also you're a shepherd and you're taking care of the sheep. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what you're called to do. And so I have experience of being in part of people's storms and lives. And I could go on and tell you example after example of people's lives that I've been involved in when they faced crisis. But this is something that I know. We are all in this together. No man is an island to himself. And if anybody thinks that they can sit in front of a television or sit in front of a Facebook stream and think that, hey, I can get enough God, or sit in front of a television with YouTube rolling, thinking that I can get enough God that I don't have to go to church, they are deceived. The Bible talks to us about how important it is to assemble ourselves together. And so God has called us together. We're in this together. Now, part of successfully navigating the trajectory of life's perplexing paths is to heed to the many warnings of God. And if you saw my video that I posted on Facebook, you saw me talk a little bit about this, how storms are brewing. And listen, if you're here today and you say, Pastor JC, I'm all dry. There's no storms going on in my life. Get ready, because you will be facing a storm sooner or later. Jesus even talks about how it rains on the just and the unjust. He talks about how in Matthew 7, where the wise man and the foolish man, and he is contrasting the two. And he says one will build their life on sand, but the other one will build their life on solid ground, a rock. And so storms are brewing. And the reason I believe that we as believers are being called into someone else's storm, it has to do with this concept. It's because that someone who we're being called into their storm, that someone is not hearing from the Lord. They are disregarding the warnings of God. And so I talked about the other day two important warnings that I believe that God is flashing. It's like a warning light. We all get the amber alerts on our phone. I wish God would just somehow give us an amber alert in our spirit and on our phone and make it as simple as that. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But God is speaking to you right now, and He's flashing these warnings. And this is the two warnings. And there's many. But these are the two warnings I believe that God is saying to the church right now. Number one, He's telling us to stay in the center of God's perfect will. Stay in God's will. Do not get out of God's will. That doesn't mean that God's will for your life is not going to have storms, because it will. That doesn't mean that God's will for your life, that you're not going to have problems and you're not going to have challenges, because you will. But I would rather be, Brother David, in the center of God's perfect will, knowing that I'm in God's will when I'm facing the crisis and the storms of my life. Number two, slow down. Look at your neighbor and tell them to slow down. Pastor Carl came up to me one day when I was preaching a funeral and told me to slow down. Slow down. Slow down. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, slow down. We got too many people who are speeding today. No, I'm not just talking about driving your car like a race car driver. I'm talking about you hurrying in life. There's so many demands, and I understand to get from point A to point B. But when you're flat on your back, you see things a lot clearer. Slow down. History is a lesson. And unfortunately, the only thing we learn from history is this. We've learned nothing from history. And we look at the story of Paul. And I believe the reason Luke recorded this, the reason God had Luke record this journey that Paul had, was to give us an historical account of a storm that somebody was called into. This is important for us. And I think if we'll just hear what the word of the Lord says, it's going to help us. And open our ears and help us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord on this side, the Holy Spirit may be speaking to something completely different for the Barfields than he is for the Wallens. But it's the wonderful thing about the Rhema word of God is it's alive and it will help and even modify or challenge the things that we're facing. Look with me in Acts 27, and this entire story is out of the book Acts 27, so we're going to stay in there today. In verse 9 out of the Amplified Version, it says, "Now much time had been lost." And it says, "And navigation was dangerous because even the time for the fast, the Day of Atonement, was already over. So Paul began to strongly warn them, saying, 'Men, I sense, after careful thought and observation, that this voyage will certainly be a disaster and with great loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but also of our lives.' However, the centurion, which was Julius, ranking officer on board, was persuaded by the pilot and the owner of the ship rather than what Paul had said." So you have a man of God that's giving them advice. And he's basically warning, he's making himself adamantly clear that they are not to sail on. They're not to move forward. You do not want to make this decision. We talked about influence the other day and how people are so easily influenced by their other people's opinions. And they're not listening or hearing what the Lord is trying to warn them and help them. You know what? I know there's not a person in this room. I realize this. No one likes to be told, "I told you so." Nobody likes that. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody and you've said to them, "You know, I don't think this, what you're about to do, is a great idea." And that they went ahead and they did it. And they went on and they made that decision, and then they came back with their head down, their face flat on the floor, and they're like, "Oh man." And you were like, "I told you so." But nobody wants to be that person. Nobody wants to be told, "I told you so." There's not a person in this room who has ever had second thoughts. There's not a person in this room who's ever had regrets. There's not a person in this room who's ever made a mistake. We all have made mistakes. We've all had second thoughts. We've all been in that ship, in that position, and thinking, "Do I listen to the man of God? Do I listen to the pastor? Do I listen to my parents? Do I listen to the teacher, the professor? Do I listen to the investor? Do I listen to my boss? Who do I listen to? Do I listen to God?" But I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. The reason I know this is because you're here today. This room is filled with people. Yes, you made mistakes. Yes, you had second thoughts. Yes, you had regrets. But there are people in this room, filled in this room, people who made those mistakes, but you got up. Look at your neighbor and tell them, "Hey, I got up." You got up, you shook yourself, and you dusted yourself off and you said, "Okay, yes, that was yesterday. Today's a new day. I'm going forward." You got up and you said, "Let the past be the past. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the calling, the high calling in God. I'm moving forward." Is anybody there? I've been there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what it's like to have grace and mercy? Our family's been going through some struggles. You guys know that. But I was praying yesterday morning, early in the morning, And Caleb was going to St. Louis, and Pastor Crystal was going to Memphis, and I was there, and all of a sudden, I just looked out the back door, and I saw the most beautiful sunrise, and this light rain was coming down, and it was just, it wasn't heavy rain, it wasn't a mist either, it was just light rain, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that is the mercy of God, the mercy rain. And I said, God, we need that kind of rain. We need that kind of mercy. Our family needs mercy. If I had an opportunity, would you take $1 million or would you take the mercy of the Lord? I would go for the mercy of the Lord all the time, because His mercy endureth forever. The $1 million can be spent in a month, but that mercy for God will stay and last. And I'm talking to somebody that knows what I'm talking about. The mercy of God. You needed it. You needed it yesterday morning. You needed it this morning. That is the mercy and the grace of God for your life. I love this because Proverbs 24 and verse 16 says, for a just man falls 7 times. But what does he do? He rises up again. But says the wicked shall fall in mischief. And so storms are brewing. Storms are happening. And it's amazing to see what's going on in our nation with the amount of storms. And this is just May, right? Tornadoes are going to get probably even worse this month and into the summer. But just because storms are brewing doesn't mean that we're going under. Why? Because we serve the master of the wind. We serve the master of the wind. We serve the most incredible. The disciples said to themselves, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? The elements of nature can obey, as Jesus stood in that boat and put his hand toward the storm and said, peace be still. They said, what manner of man is this? It is the master of our storm, the master of our wind. We look in Acts 27 and verse 22 now. Our opening text has said, but even now I urge you to keep up your courage and be in good spirits, because there will be no loss of life among you, but only loss of the ship. For this very night an angel of the Lord, an angel of God, of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me and said, stop being afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has given you the lives of all those who you're sailing with. So keep up your courage, men, for I believe God and have complete confidence in Him that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. God, and one of the thoughts I had, Sister Linda Wallen, was this. God is raising up young prophets who will, in these last days, who will stand flat-footed and declare the word of the Lord. God is raising some young people up in this generation who's going to stand and declare the word of God. Is not going to listen to what the world is saying. It's not going to listen to what the media is saying. Not going to listen to what YouTube influencers are saying. They're going to listen and hear what God is saying. They're going to stand there in the midst of your storm, be your encourager, and tell you, keep up your courage, for I believe God, and have complete confidence in Him. God, raise up some light warriors, raise up some light bearers, raise up some young people in these last days that will say, we will overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we're being called into someone else's storm. And I want to talk to you today about 3 requirements of being called in someone else's storm. Because see, if we're being called in someone else's storm, I want to be prepared for that, don't you? Amen? Nobody was prepared just a few weeks ago to the tragedy that rocked our church and our church family and our friends in this community. Nobody was prepared for that. They couldn't even say things. I mean, there's nothing that could have done and said to make it any better. Only God is the one that can bring true comfort, not man's words. And so I want to get to that point where I'm so close to God that God could help me bring comfort to the people that are facing crisis in their lives. And so here's three requirements. Number one, being called into someone else's storm requires hearing from God. Everybody say hearing from God. That seems like it's the theme, Pastor Carl, in this message, that we need to hear from the Lord. Look at Acts 27, verse 23. He says, "For this very night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I share or serve stood before me and said, 'Stop being afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has given you the lives of all those who are sailing with you.'" Man, I don't know about you, but I want to hang about somebody that can hear from the Lord. You know, we can be superficial. We can say when somebody's going through their problems and their storm, "Oh, it's going to get better. Oh, bless your little heart. I'm just going to be." Nobody knows. Am I right, Sister Janie? Nobody knows unless you go through that storm. We can say all we want to say, but I want to hear from the Lord, and I want to be an agent of change and a vehicle of victory, a child of comfort. So hearing from God is not a difficult task. I had a youth pastor, and it wasn't Pastor Carl, thank God. I had a youth pastor came to me years ago when I was pastoring down south, and they said, "Brother Seward, I just don't hear from God." And that baffles me. Because there are people who just don't hear from God. It's not that God is silent, but God is speaking. How can I hear from God? Well, I'll tell you the best way to hear from God. Get in that Bible. Get off the Facebook. Quit scrolling up and down. You spend too much time scrolling when you should be in that Word, reading His Word, till His Word is reading you. The more you spend time in God's Word, the more you spend time in church, the more you spend time in prayer, the more you spend time in worship, the easier it is to recognize His voice. It truly is. The more you spend with time, it's like I know my wife's voice. Isn't it amazing, Sister Charlotte, that I can be on the other end of the phone when I'm talking to my beautiful wife, and she may not like a decision I made, and I can not only hear it in her voice, but I can sense it in her voice that I'm in trouble. It's even a text now, right? It's amazing because I spend my life. My life is with, we are one. That's my life, is my beautiful wife. And God should be your life. You should be spending so much time with you that you can almost hear Him breathe. Isn't that amazing to think of? This is what John 10 verse 4 says. And when He puts forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him. Look, why do they follow Him? For they know His voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from Him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Number two, being called in someone else's storm requires loyalty. Put this up, Caleb. Being called in someone else's storm requires loyalty. Everybody say loyalty. Look at Acts 27, verse 30. You've missed this, but it's going to help you. It says, "But as the sailors were trying to escape secretly from the ship and had let down the skiff into the sea, pretending that they were going to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men remain on the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes that held the skiff and let it fall and drift away." Notice this plan. These sailors were secretly attempting to jump ship. Boy, I've pastored the church for a long time. And you cannot tell me that I can count. I can count the times when people got together secretly and wanted to jump ship, wanted to leave the church. But let me just give you this advice. You need to be very careful with who you're hanging out with. Because they may completely pull you out, not only of the church, but out of the will of God. And it may cost you your life. Some people cannot handle your storms. I realize that. Some people can't handle your storms. My beautiful wife, bless her heart, when this came on early, she would cry. And I knew this was very difficult because she was like, I don't know what to do. She still doesn't know what to do. But she's there. She's in my storm. She's with me, helping me. I'm telling you, young men, you better find you a woman that's going to be loyal not only to you, but to God. Because as soon as a storm comes, if that person's not loyal to God and not loyal to you, see you wouldn't want to be you. They'll leave you high and hung out to dry, and they'll leave you all by yourself. Listen, it's time to get connected to God. Amen? Being loyal. So you need to be very careful who you hang out with. Some people, they're not going to be able to handle your storm, and so they'll jump ship in the middle of your crisis. They'll jump ship in the middle of your crisis. I've seen it happen in organizations. I've seen it happen in churches. I've seen it happen in investors. They don't like what's going on with the direction of the market, and so they sell off. And there's a lot of people today who are just selling off. They're not committed. They're not loyal. What I've learned is some people are troublemakers, not problem solvers. Brother Jose called me the other day and he said, look, Pastor JC, I want to be a problem solver. I'm like, hey, that's what I want. We're all about solving problems. We're not all about making problems. There's a lot of people that run their mouth and they just want to be a troublemaker and they want to stir up. Listen, the Bible calls that an abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren, it is an abomination to God. So best advice, if you're doing that, best advice I could give you is sweet potato pie and shut my mouth. Don't make any decisions with your mouth. Listen, remember, loose lips sink ships. And this ship that the Apostle Paul was on, he was called in somebody else's storm. This ship was sinking. And these young men, these men that were trying to secretly escape, if they had of, they would have died. All of them would have died. They got out of the ship prematurely. Number three, last one. Being called into someone else's storm requires thanking God. Now this is amazing because it's like it's switching gears all of a sudden. We're talking about some things that perhaps may feel negative. We're talking about some things that, oh man, I don't know about. Then all of a sudden we see something that is very positive here. And it's going to be fundamental in your life if you'll get a hold of this. Look at Acts 27 verse 33. Continuing in his story, it says, while they waited for the day to dawn, Paul encouraged them all and told them to have some food, saying, this is the 14th day that you have been constantly on watch and going without food, having eaten nothing. So I urge you to eat some food, for this is for your survival, for not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. Having said this, look what happens. He took bread, he gave thanks to God in front of them all. Very publicly. And he broke it and he began to eat. Then all the men were encouraged and their spirits improved. And they also ate some food. All told were 276 of us aboard the ship. After they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing the wheat, which they got from Egypt, overboard into the sea. Notice this. I think this is so amazing. Sister Sandy says this. We read our Bible way too fast. We absolutely do. The Apostle Paul gave thanks to God in front of 276 men. They were encouraged and their spirits improved. That was the very first thing. When you're in somebody else's storm, you need to be giving God thanks. Grab that person and hold them and say, let's just give God thanks because God's with us, and we want to thank Him because there's power in giving God thanks. Oh yeah, you may look around and you may say, well, I don't have a lot to be thankful for. But if you will truly count your blessings, you'll be thankful that you have the breath of God in your life, that you'll have the strength that He has given you. If you'll look around and just notice, God has really blessed you with a lot more than you ever thought you had. And they gave thanks. Look what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. It says, in everything, give thanks. Are you ready for the will of God? It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks. And it's hard. It is difficult at times when you don't feel having that attitude of gratitude. But I'm telling you, there's a miracle that is unleashed in your life when you begin to give God thanks for His blessings. So how do I apply this to my life? How do I make this message being called in someone else's storm? How can I make it count for life? Let's continue. Look at Acts 27 and verse 42. It says, the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would dive overboard and swim to land and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He commanded those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to the shore. And he commanded the rest to follow some on floating planks and others on various things from the ship. And look what happens here. It says, and so it was that all of them were brought safely to land. Thank God. See, this is crucial right now, because if I'm called into somebody else's storm, I've got to hear from God. I've got to be loyal. I've got to have a thankful attitude and just know that God is going to rescue us. He's going to help us. He's going to see us through. Your life, our lives, everyone in this room, you know what? We're destined to more than just surviving. We're destined to thriving in the defined purpose and the power of God. So we've got to move from that mindset, just surviving, going from paycheck to paycheck, just surviving, getting up, going from one day. Listen, I had a lesson a year ago. God said, don't let what's going on define you. And I've not letting that define me. God's word is what defines me. And so I'm not just surviving, I'm thriving. In this last few years that I have faced this, I have written almost 3 books. I've got 1 book that is almost completely published, and it's out. It will be out very soon. I mean, very, very soon, like in a week or two. Praise the Lord. And I've been able to get my ham radio license. I've been able to do things that when I was sitting and laying in the bedfast for weeks and laying in the pew, didn't know if I was ever going to be up at the piano playing the piano. But look at God. I decided I'm not just going to survive, I'm going to thrive. And listen, there's much more that J.C. Seward, John Kerry Seward, Sandhill Coals of Fire has in his life. There's much more living for me to do. I'm just not going to survive. I'm going to thrive. And I'm believing that for you. And I'm praying that for you. Why? Because God has called me into your storm. We're in this together, but we're overcomers. Why? Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? God has greatness in store for your life. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Now's not the time to throw in the towel. Now's not the time to give up. Now's the time to move forward and watch God. The same God that fulfilled His promise to the Apostle Paul is the same God who will fulfill His promise to you. His promises are yea and amen. So the best way, are you ready for this? The best way to make true and pure application of this message is to know this number one truth. You ready? You might want to write this down or even take a picture of this. You've come all the way to hear this one phrase. Here it is. You are not going down. You are not going down. The devil wanted to kill you. The devil wanted to rock your world. The devil wanted to drown you. The devil wanted you to give up too early. But God says, nope, I'm telling you today, you are not going down. Your finances are going to improve. Your health is going to improve. Your relationships are going to improve. Why? Because you serve a God who says you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you, he shall condemn. I'm serving a God that says you're going up, you're not going down. Give God some praise today. Give God some glory today, because you are on the rise. Woo! Moving on up to the top. Hey, some of you have been waiting for a piece of that pie. Get ready. Get your napkin together. Get your cutlery together. Get things ready. Get set up to the banquet table. And God said, now is the time. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. Come and eat and drink. Come and taste of the Lord. Come and know that God is taking you up higher than you've ever dreamed. Amen. Let's stand together in this place. You are not going down. The only permission you have to go down is if you go to Downtown Barbecue. That's what Pastor Carl runs. But you're not going down. I want you to see this. Put this up, Caleb. There's this pastor, and his statue's in Boston, Massachusetts. His name is Pastor Phillips Brooks. You may have heard of him, or you may have even seen his statue. But he wrote this. He said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be the miracle. How many can say, Pastor JC, I want to be that miracle? What if we all, come back to me, Caleb. What if we all determine, I'm going to be, put your hand on your heart, say, I'm going to be someone else's miracle and someone else's storm. What if we all have that determination? Listen, it's not about comfort. It's so easy to go and home and just put my feet up on the recliner and watch the Yankees. But how about we being somebody else's miracle? There's people, Sister Lord, there's people in this community that need somebody to be their miracle. These children that come on Wednesday night, I pray that I be their miracle. I pray Carl be their miracle. I pray we can be their miracle. Can you think of somebody right now? Somebody in your life right now. One person. Just one person. You can be their miracle. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. You may be the last Christian believer that a person may talk to on planet Earth. There's people hurting. You may be that last person they'll talk to until they go into eternity. What would you say? What would you say if somebody was about, and I've done this many, many times. I've seen, unfortunately, being a pastor, listen, death is a part of life. I've seen them. I've watched them take their last breath. I've seen it many, countless of times. And no matter how hard I tried praying them back to life, that wasn't God's plan. It was appointed for man once to die, then a judgment. What would be that last whisper? I've seen children whisper, I love you, be the last words to their loved one. I've watched a boy smile when they took the tube and they cut off the life support. I watched his face glow like an angel when he went into eternity. I've seen it. I've held hands of people who've passed away. What would be the last thing? When, if I'm going to be somebody, I should live that way. I'm being called. Brother John, you're being called in somebody else's storm. Rebecca, you're being called in somebody else's storm. You're, Brother Billy Bracken, you're being called in somebody else's storm. But don't jump ship. I thank God for the people in this church. You didn't know it. You were called to my storm.
Yes.
But I thank you that you didn't jump ship. That you checked on Pastor JC. How's Pastor JC doing? Because I'm called into his storm. And I'm praying with him. And I'm standing with him. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. You say, Pastor JC, first and foremost, before I can be a miracle, I need to know. Just a minute, Pastor Crystal. Before I can be a miracle, I need to know the miracle worker. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, no one's looking around. Pastor JC, God is dealing with my heart to get things right. And I want to make things right before the Lord. Eternity is too long to be wrong. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, He's challenging, He's tugging at your heart. He's simply saying, would you come home? Yeah, life's been rough. There's been horrible mistakes, but we've all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. God's speaking to you and saying, I want to make things right. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I want to continue. Maybe you were living for the Lord years ago and just life happened and you drifted away from God. Guess what? God loves us. His mercy endureth forever. Just like that mercy rain I was talking about. It would be a privilege as your pastor standing behind this pulpit to introduce you once again to Jesus Christ. Nobody's looking around, but with an uplifted hand, say, pray for me. I see your hand. Yes, oh my, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. I see your hands. Hallelujah. This is what I want you to do. Nobody's looking around. Those that you raise your hand, I want you to just come. And I just want you to kneel at this altar. We're not asking you to come and be a church, but just come and pray. And we have prayer partners that are going to come and with you. Don't worry. We love you. Come on. Would you come? We have many, many that have raised their hands. Somebody will come and pray with you. Somebody will come and lead you to the Lord. What a beautiful, beautiful. Just kneel and just find a place and pray and just know that God loves you.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.